Welcome to Compliance Cast, presented by Kofax. Compliance is complicated, but we're here to help. This series showcases compliance experts with timely insights for finance process leaders. Listen and learn how to manage evolving global mandates while increasing productivity and competitive edge. We hope you enjoy this episode.
Good day, everybody. My name is Ruud van Hilton. I'll introduce myself a bit later in the podcast. You're in a podcast about continuous transaction controls, about tax measures that have to do with indirect tax. And I'm joined here by Ellen Kortvink from PricewaterhouseCoopers PwC. Ellen will introduce herself in a second. Today's our first podcast in a series where we seek to familiarize you with tax reform, where we seek to explain to you what's happening in the world of indirect tax, specifically VAT and GST, and how governments are trying to reform their taxation in such a way that they're still simply getting better at collecting tax. So we'll talk today about what that somewhere is, I guess. And today is very focused on what we call continuous transaction controls. Some of you may know this as mandates or e-invoicing obligations, whichever way. But it is about electronic invoicing, obligations, e-reporting. And as I said, today is the first episode in a series. But before we go there, let me first ask Ellen briefly to introduce herself. So Ellen, tell us who you are.
Of course. Hi, everyone. Hi, Ruud. Thanks for inviting me to this first podcast. So my name is Ellen Kortvink. I'm a director in the Indirect Tax Technology team at PwC. And I'm also heading up our Global Center of Excellence in relation to e-invoicing and e-reporting, which means that I'm following those mandates that Ruud was referring to very closely. And I'm very happy to explain you more about them in this podcast today.
Thank you so much, Ellen. And as I said, I'm Ruud van Hilton. Ellen, I'm very, very happy that you could be here on a Monday morning with autumn weather outside, speaking about tax. I'm Ruud van Hilton. I work for Kofax. Actually, Tungsten Network, a Kofax company, and I head up compliance in Kofax and collaborate very closely with PricewaterhouseCoopers, with PwC, who are our advisory on literally a daily basis. So, Ellen, I mean, why is it important for people to listen to this? I mean, obviously, we're talking about, I would say, not the riviest, not the sexiest topic in the world, taxation, seen as many businesses as a business nuisance, if you wish, something that they know they need to do, but it's not their core business. So why should people spend time on listening to this?
People should spend time because, well, first of all, there is a lot happening in this specific domain. Changes and new mandates keep on rising on a daily basis, let's say. And when you talk about invoicing compliance, invoicing mandates, it's not just about a compliance obligation. It can become really an operational concern if you're no longer able to send out your invoice in a correct way to your business customer, to collect cash from your customer, which means that the shift in importance with businesses that we're talking to is, of course, also increasing more and more.
Okay, so it's really important. And as you said, it is, of course, I think, critical for any business to be able to send invoices for services and goods that you delivered or rendered. And it would probably kill you instantaneously if you can't invoice. So are you saying then that these interventions, if you wish, these government obligations, are they strictly then on the supplier side? Or if you receive invoices, are you affected too?
You can be affected too, of course, because from a VAT recovery perspective, as one example, that invoice is again a very critical means to prove that indeed you have received the services, the goods that are mentioned on that invoice, and that you're able to recover the VAT that you paid towards your supplier. So I would say that with these mandates, with these obligations, everyone is a bit involved, from a supplier, a buyer, an intermediary, but also more and more, and I'm sure we'll go there in a bit, also the tax authorities will play an important role in that cycle in the future.
Oh, absolutely. And thank you for explaining that. So it's important for everybody. And to be honest, I don't know any company who just or that just receives invoices and doesn't send any, and vice versa. So any company has an AP and AR department. So it affects both, basically. That's what you're saying, if I understand you correctly. Now, this is a really broad topic, isn't it? I mean, this is big. It's happening. We'll talk about what's happening out there. And as I said in the beginning, in the introduction, this is the first episode of a series of podcasts, because the topic is so broad that there are multiple things that we need to talk about, I guess. And today we'll focus on the major shifts that we're seeing out there, why it's happening, and also start talking a little bit about APAR, role of Europe, things like that. And so it's a really, really broad topic. So again, it's our first one, and I strongly suggest that you subscribe to this so you can keep track of what's going to happen in the near future. So you said something about the tax authorities, Ellen, and impact on business. We said something about tax reform, mandates, continuous transaction controls. So let's define the play field then. How would you define a continuous transaction control? What is it? What is a mandate? What happens?
Well, continuous transaction controls is really an approach, to tax enforcement, I would say, based on the electronic submission of transactional data from a taxpayer system to a platform that is put forward by a tax administration. Timing-wise, that exchange of information takes place just before, during, or after the actual transaction takes place between the underlying parties. And typically, you see that there are multiple categories in this, what we call CTC environment, either reporting mechanisms or mandatory invoicing. And when we're talking about mandatory invoicing, we even see more variances to the same topic, where, for instance, you have non-clearance e-invoicing systems, whereby the supplier is able to send an e-invoice directly to its customer without any interference from a tax authority.
So sorry, Ellen, is that the same as post audit?
It is indeed often referred to as a post-audit environment, but where invoices are indeed exchanged in electronic formats. If we're talking about clearance systems, so that's, I would say, the other side of the spectrum to a post-audit environment, it means that you are required as a supplier to obtain either a token, a good-to-go from the tax authority in order to send your invoice towards your buyer, or a step further, where it's even that government platform that is responsible for delivering your invoice to your customer.
Okay, so let me get this straight. You move from a situation where you send an invoice to your buyer because they bought goods or services from you, and in the normal circumstances, post audit, you would be audited at some point, but that could be quite late after, or quite long after you send the invoice. What you're suggesting is that there are situations where your invoice needs to go to the government first to, if I understand correctly, receive approval to send your invoice to the buyer, or there may even be situations where you don't actually send the invoice to the buyer anymore. It's the government that does that.
Absolutely.
But that's a fundamental deviation from where you are today, at least in many countries.
It is. And where you refer to as a post-audit environment, it meant in the past that compliance was often something which is a matter of legal interpretation, where courts were ultimately deciding whether or not your system, your invoice was indeed compliant, and also about the potential negative consequences of that non-compliance again, where I would say in a clearance kind of or a mandate kind of situation, real-time visibility is created in the information that you send towards a tax authority, which means that those systems have the potential to attract tougher fines, penalties, but these are often not seen as the most critical elements of such an implementation for a business. It's really that dependency that exists between a business and a tax administration process that creates the highest burden for a business. It means that they are indeed dependent of a government system before they can indeed again send out that invoice towards your buyer. So it really can become an operational concern or an operational burden if indeed the systems that are put forward, the portals that are put forward by the authorities are not working properly.
Okay, so again, because what you just said is something that we need to understand really well. Excuse me. So we were in a situation, in most countries, I think that's what you're inferring, most countries in the world, we were in a system where you send your invoice to the buyer receives the invoice, and you'll get audited at some point. And of course, these audits are sample checks. You know, not every invoice is checked, so you may or may not fail the audit in the end. What you're now saying is that governments are not only imposing obligations to clear invoices or to get approval to send, or they send them themselves, or you need to report data, but there's also, let's say, a government entity in the form of a platform, a portal, a government thing in the middle where invoices need to be sent to before they can even go to the recipient. And you're saying, and that would give me the shivers, is that you're saying, okay, and you're now dependent on the performance of that system to basically for the timeliness of your invoice being submitted to your buyer. Also, I heard you say that every invoice now goes through that process. So where you had an audit where some invoices will be sampled and looked at in closer detail, you're now looking in the situation where every invoice goes through scrutiny before it's even passed to the buyer. Wow. So if you're a business, you called it an operational concern. You're absolutely right. Right. Well, I think I describe it as something that would keep me awake at night, because it affects my outbound invoices, my cash, but it also affects my inbound process. You said earlier, yeah, my tax recoverability is under pressure. I understand that now. Yeah. But again, basically what you're saying is a form of social control. If the supplier doesn't do what the government wants, the buyer can't recover the VAT.
Absolutely.
It means
that the government now has the means, has the data to go to a real-time risk profiling as well of both suppliers and buyers.
So they build up oceans of data.
Absolutely.
Okay, so I can see, why governments are doing this. Why is this happening, Alan? Because it's hugely intrusive. I can somehow understand that this would frustrate a business community in a country. Mm-hmm. Because they've got other fish to fry, I would think, like energy crisis, inflation, all sorts of other things. So why does a government even take the risk of alienating the business community by imposing such draconic measures? Because let's face it, this is not a small feat. This is really, really big.
Absolutely. And I think, you will not be surprised, and you referred to it as well in the beginning, the main driver for governments to implement these types of measures is really, their search for money. Really want to implement measures to combat VAT fraud, to combat under-collection of VAT that is happening. There are figures that show that is happening, and the fact that also errors are being made by companies. So it means that for governments, it's more beneficial, I would say, and also for the business perspective, more beneficial to really invest in measures that help them to collect better what they should already collect versus imposing additional taxes, which is, of course, in the current climate, not at all something to go for. And of course, the current drivers, you refer to the pandemic, the recession, the energy crisis, that, of course, all enforces that message or that need even more, which means that globally we see a need, a massive shift in how governments are collecting data from businesses nowadays, which drives them more and more in the direction of these CTCs again. Already at this point in time, we know that 50 new or extensions to current obligations will be implemented between now and, let's say, 5 years. So that really means massive change for businesses nowadays to be prepared for what is coming, let's say.
Okay, so you said 50, not 15.
50. No, 50 indeed.
Oh, you also mentioned the word extensions. That worries me a bit. So does that mean once a government decides to impose something like this, so they built this platform, I think you're sort of like in between the lines are saying that the business case is a no-brainer. These platforms, of course, aren't cheap, but the money that governments will basically collect on the basis of it is enormous. So that's I think everybody would understand that. When you said extensions, does that mean what they go live with or what they impose in the first place isn't the end game? Is there more?
No, not necessarily indeed. So we've seen countries that either go to extended scopes, where initially they focus really on, for instance, domestic transactions that are happening between taxable persons established in their countries, but where now, let's say, also the cross-border dimension is being added. So the number of requirements and the number of data points they collect from businesses is also growing to get, let's say, full scope visibility on everything that is happening in their country.
Oh dear. So you're saying that if I send an invoice to another country, then the government wants to see that invoice too. But what? So, okay. So that's interesting. And that happens later. So it doesn't happen at the same time as the beginning. So these things, but that means you end up in a almost like an endless cycle of change. And the more of these.
So,
well, that's hugely business disruptive. And I guess, and I'm guessing, you don't get much notice of these changes.
No, it's a good guess indeed. Yeah. I would say the typical trend is that these requirements are often announced very late. And are also subject to change between the moment of announcement and the actual implementation. So if you ask me the question around, why should people listen to this podcast? I think this is one of the reasons as well. It is very, very difficult, and we hear that on a daily basis from the customers we are talking to keep track of everything that is changing, how it affects businesses, whether or not they're in scope of a certain mandate, which is subject to change over time, as we have just discussed. So this is one of the, I would say, crucial elements when talking strategy around how to respond to these changes with businesses. One of the crucial elements is indeed for businesses to find a way to better monitor the landscape and how it affects them nowadays.
This episode was part one of a lively two-part discussion between Ruud van Hilton and Ellen Kortvreemd. Please visit kofax.com/compliancecast to listen to part two of this conversation and other episodes.